seems like we hoop and holler all the time about some of this stuff, but you know, it just, it ain't cost you, we ain't took up an offering for me to preach it. Amen. And I hadn't put any of the money in my pocket. So it ain't that I'm trying to make money off of this thing. I want to try to see people get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see the people that know Jesus Christ draw closer to him and have that blessed fellowship with him that he so longs for. That's right. You know, Jesus ain't trying to hide his blessings from us. He's not trying to hide his fellowship. He's not trying to hide his goodness from us. But God wants to give us his goodness. He wants to bless us. He wants to fellowship. He wants to save us. The only problem with people getting saved is the people. That's not God. It's not God. We the one that's the hindering. That's right. We're getting in his way. And God will save. He said today's the day of salvation. That's right, buddy. And the problem with that is us. That's right. We get in God's way and we doubt God. That's right. We doubt God. We don't doubt the devil usually. We believe him. But, you know, Zach said something while ago, and I'm rattling a little bit, but he said something while ago about the devil being deceitful, and he said your heart's more deceitful than Satan. You know, the devil, I said last week, the name devil means deceiver. I mean, his own name means deceiver, and our heart is more deceitful than him. It's amazing, isn't it? It's pretty deceitful, ladies and gentlemen. Romans chapter number 3 is where we'll take off from. It's amazing, once again, the similarity between the Sunday school lesson and what the Lord's laid on my heart. And the Lord laid this on my heart here a while back, and I've just been brewing on it and stewing on it, studying it, and this is what I've come up with so far, and I'll give you what the Lord's give me. Amen. So Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10, we'll read down to verse number 20, familiar, popular passage of Scripture. It said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith is said to them who are under the law. Talking about lost people. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thank God for that good passage. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this good word of God. Lord, we could just take that precious word today, Lord, and God, just dig in it and search it out. Lord, that'd be enough. We thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be here today and expound the Scriptures. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Open our hearts, open our eyes, give us understanding, dear Lord. And God, I pray that we would be receptive to the words today of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There was a time in my life, ladies and gentlemen, when this passage, all 10 of these verses fit me to a T. There was a time in my life when I was that person that had no fear of God before my eyes. No fear of God. I was the man that had misery and destruction in my ways. And I was the man that knew not peace. I didn't know it. I was the man in verse 19 that was guilty before God. And I promise you that I had cursing and bitterness. I had it down pat. Son, I could do it as good as anybody. And I can remember when the Holy Ghost hemmed me up and I realized that I'd gone out of the way. The Bible said, he said, they've all gone out of the way. Boy, I can remember the blessed night. Thank God that the Holy Ghost of God held me up for the last time and let me see and opened my eyes and let me see that, boy, I had really gone out of the way of God. Do you hear me? I mean, son, I was so far out of the way. Jesus is the way. And I was going the opposite direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the night he let me see that. I came to realize, although I thought I was okay, I was undone and unprofitable. That's right. I thought I was okay. I thought I was a pretty good old boy. I paid my bills. I worked. I loved my wife. I'd done all those things. And I thought, but boy, I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost opened my heart and opened my eyes and the Word of God let me see that I was not okay. I was undone. I was unprofitable. And I was wicked and vile and wretched. I thank God for that night. I'm having to fight off things. I can remember being told about a place and a time. I can remember the Independent Fundamental Baptists and their form of godliness and their little ritual of religion. They told me that I had to have a place and a time. I can remember Zach sitting there and I heard preacher after preacher and person after person talk about a place and a time. And man, I got to thinking, I don't have a place and I don't have a time. I mean, man, I prayed 1,000 times. You hear me? I prayed in 1,000 places for God to save me. I didn't have a particular time and a place where I could go back to the time, where I could go back to the place and put my finger on the day that the Lord saved me. I didn't have that. I didn't have it. Can I tell you something? That's not the important part. Amen. They put the emphasis on a time. They put the emphasis on a place. And I'm telling you, bud, I took it so far to heart that all I really wanted was a time and a place. And I'm telling you, Kaylee, I got on my bedside one day as a 15-year-old boy, and just as honest and sincere as I possibly could, I asked God to come into my heart and save me. But all I was interested in was that place that I was kneeling in. What time of the day it was, July 6, 1981, about 10 minutes to 11, I made me a profession unto a God. I got me a time, I got me a place, but I didn't get redeemed, amen. I didn't get it. But I could take you to that time and I could take you to that place, but I could not show you where my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, the emphasis was on times. The emphasis was on places. And I'm telling you, it was some kind of little works of man. It was doing what man said. And I fulfilled what man said. And it still didn't give me the peace of God. I got me a time. And I got me a place. But I got no conversion. I got me a time and I got me a place, but I got no change. I got me a time, I got me a profession, but I got no real peace. Amen. I can still take you to that place, and I just gave you the time. Amen. Can I be honest with you and tell you the day that I got saved? I don't know what day it was. I don't know what month it was. I don't know what time it was. But thank God I know I passed from death unto life, amen. I couldn't tell you what day it was. I don't know. Zach, I could trace it down. I'm not interested in it. All I'm interested in is my name was written in the last book of life. He passed me that night from death unto life. That night I became a new creation in Christ. Thank God he took out the old stony heart and gave me a new one, amen. All things were passed away. All things became new. I don't know what day it was, but I know what happened, amen. I know what happened, amen. And stupid religionists tell you gotta know a time and a place so I could take you up there in the vicinity. Thank God I could, and I know it was dark outside, amen. But I believe salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is easy. I believe our minds have been corrupted so bad from the simplicities of Christ that we've made it hard and complicated and confused it and twisted it and made it fit our mold and our ideas and our ways. But there's a Bible salvation that I believe still simple. Amen. I believe a child can get a hold of it. I believe salvation is simple. What do we need? What we need to do, however, is to understand what Bible salvation is. Salvation is simple. If you can see yourself as God sees you, God says in Romans chapter 3 that we're wicked and undone. We need to understand that His wrath abides upon you still. Amen. And but God, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy, who with His great love, He loved us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, I'm glad to know, thank God, that He does come to where we're at and show us what we are. That there's a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross to become sin for us. And if we'll put our faith and trust in Him and repent of our sins, that God will put His faith in you and save your soul. Amen. Save your soul. It's very simple. Very simple. I'm telling you, one of the problems, you can get people like Brother McVeigh and Brother Dale talk about, and Brother Dale's the one that come up with it. You can get people broke. You can get people to feel sorry for what they've done, but that contrition, friend, I mean, coming to God in repentance, coming to God, seeing your sin exceedingly sinful, and not just stopping there, but repenting of that sin and turning unto God and turning from your wicked ways. If you'll just come broke and contrite, if you'll just come to Christ and repent it as a repentant sinner and trust Him, then you too can be saved by the grace of God. It's not hard. The problem is getting people to repent. The problem is getting people to see themselves as what they really are. Hey, listen here real close. If you went to church every day of your life, listen to me real good. If you went to church every day of your life and you never cussed, you never smoked, you never disobeyed any authority in your life, if you read 10 chapters of Bible a day and you pray without ceasing, if you never seen your righteousness for what it is and seen yourself the God-hating, Christ-killing rebel that you really are, you hear me? I said, son, you can read 10 chapters a day. You can go to church every day in your life. You can pray without ceasing. But if you can't see yourself the ungodly, filthy, wretched sinner that you really are, you'll never come to know Jesus. You'll never be saved. I don't care what religious front you got. I don't care how much tithes you pay. I don't care how many deeds you do. Until you come to that place of repentance, you'll never be born again. Never. God, here He said in Romans chapter 3, they're all gone out of the way. The poison of asp is under their tongues. They're all full of deceit. God said, until you start seeing, that's what you are. That's what Moses was about, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the Sunday school teacher was talking about. That's what Moses was saying, thou shalt not kill. So that when you kill, that you can realize that you was a murderer. When you stole, you can realize you was a thief. That law was there to convict you and to point out what you was and bring that conviction upon you. And you're supposed to sit there and go, yes, that's right. That's what I am. You know what God said? God said, if you broke one of these commandments, you broke them all, friend. I'm telling you what we are. We're a bunch of rebels against the Holy God. You broke one, you broke them all. Matthew 11:6 said this. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Can I tell you, the only person that's never offended at the word of God is the child of God. The only person that don't get offended at Bible preaching is a child of God. It's amazing. You can tell cute little old stories, and I mean, man, you can pull out the little Reader's Digest and you can jerk tears and you can line up goosebumps and you can scratch backs and you can tell all the little cute stories. You can have people weeping at the sad little old story. Some little girl I might have suffered, and you can tell it and get the emotions all stirred. But you start pulling out that King James Bible Bible and you start preaching what thus saith the Lord, I'm telling you, people start getting offended. I mean, they start taking it wrong. They buck up against the Word of God. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll just get saved, you'll never get offended in the Word. Word of God don't offend saved people. Can I be honest with you? I ain't never been offended in the preaching of God's Word. Man, preaching sound doctrine, I ain't never in my life got offended. Never in my life got offended. Two times in my life I've had pastors that's made me mad and ticked me off, and I went home mad as a wet hen. And before I even got home, and it wasn't even over preaching, son, it was stupidity outside of the pulpit that got me all perturbed. Now I'm telling you, before I even got home, the Holy Ghost said, hey boy, you're wrong, he's right, turn this car around, go back, look your pastor in the eyes, and apologize for your rebellion. Turn my car around, I ain't done a thing in the world wrong, Miss Holly, but got mad. I didn't say nothing, I didn't do nothing, I didn't start nothing. I got my hiney chewed up one side and down the other, got mad as any man probably would. But before I got home, the Holy Ghost said, you're wrong. You go back to the man of God and you apologize. I had to go back and just get rid of the pride and just look my pastors in the eyes and say, man, you was right. You nailed me. I was wrong. And I got mad and I'm sorry. And I want to tell you about it. So why'd you do that? Because saved people, that's what they do. Saved people just keep things right. They're just not offended as easy. It's how it is. You can start telling and showing people what the Bible says and they get offended. How come you can give them scriptures on salvations and they get offended? How come people get offended when you start giving Bible about salvation? They do. They do all the time. They ain't saved, that's why. That's why people get offended. That's why people have problems. That's why people have problems with conviction. That's why people are all the time trying to change the doctrines of salvation, because they just ain't saved themselves. That's all. Here's what the psalmist said. Perfect peace in Psalms 119. Perfect peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. That word of God ain't going to offend a saved person. It doesn't. I'm telling you what a saved person does. They thrive on the word of God. They enjoy the word of God. I appreciate the word of God when it takes and lacerates and cuts me white. You hear me? I thank God for cutting me to the core, friend. Doesn't offend me. Look at verse number 16 in Romans 3. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Those of you that are saved can easily look back and see how you were in the path of destruction before you got saved. Then he mentions misery. Why in the world does he mention misery in this verse? Because that's what it is to be lost. It's miserable, friend. That's what it is. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost takes the Word of God and starts to work in your life and you begin to see, listen to me, when you begin to see that you're lost through the preaching of God's Word, through the enlightenment of the Scriptures, through the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and you rejecting Jesus and you becoming to the reality that you're lost, I'm going to tell you, friend, it's a miserable life. It's miserable. No joy in that. No joy in seeing how wicked and wretched and vile and undone you are. It's no fun. It's no fun for a preacher to stand up and hoop and holler and tell the people how wretched and vile and wicked and undone we are. I don't take pleasure in that. I'm telling you, man, I wish God sometimes would give me sweeter sermons and let me preach on the little sunshiny things. But I'm telling you, friend, there's people in this congregation that if Jesus was to come back today, you're going to be left behind. If you had a wreck and died, friend, you're going to go to hell. I got to send out the warning. I gotta give out the call and let you get a chance to come to Jesus. Let you have another chance. Listen, I ain't trying to scare you. I don't even like to try scare tactics. I hate that junk. I'm just telling you how real it is and how real it is to me. Everybody in here probably remembers when Michael Jordan played with the Chicago Bulls and how great it was. There's a local man here that played up there for Chicago with Michael Jordan and Rusty LaRue. Rusty's owning the Dairy Queen or whatever it was. What's the name of that? The Dairy over in Clemens now. And
coaches West Forsyth basketball, played for the Chicago Bulls. Got a phone call yesterday. Matthew said, "Hey, Dad." He said, "Rusty LaRue's boy, 18 years old, was on his way back to college today. 18 years old, son, and had a car wreck and died." And I went, "Oh, God." Me and Seth, you spent the rest of yesterday evening, college morning, and grieving over the loss of that 18-year-old life. And we got to thinking about his mom and his daddy. What a tragedy it must be. What a joy it is to be able to see your child when he comes home. You've missed him. And man, here he comes, and it's like a reunion. You get to spend some time together. And the next thing you know, the weekend's over, and they have to pack up and go back home. And life returns to normal, and you're on the job, and the phone rings, and they say, "Sir, it's your boy. He's been in a bad wreck. We need you to come to the hospital. He's dead." So why are you saying it? Because, Miss Debbie, you never know. You never know. It just makes me want to go. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen Rusty LaRue two or three times up there at the Dario, and the thought crossed my mind, "Dave, you really ain't where you ought to be, because I've never even tried to give him the gospel. Zach, I've come in contact with him enough to be able to share the gospel and present the gospel to that man and maybe enter into his family and see the family get saved. I'm telling you, we ought to give the call to people." You never know. You never know when your time is over. I say, thank God, the Sunday school teacher said, today is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, if God, the Holy Ghost, deals with your heart, look at me and my God-given eyeballs. If the Holy Ghost pricks you in the heart with the Word of God, you say to hell with public opinion. You say to hell with what other people say. And you better go to God. You better cling to God. You better run to Him. Friend, you may not have a tomorrow. I'm trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, that's a fact of life. You may not have tomorrow. You think I'm going to take a man's word over the word of God? Fooey on that sucker. I don't care who it is. My best friend, my mama, my daddy, my brother, you hear me? I'm telling you, I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. If the word of God has healed me up, I say so be it. Let the word of God heal me up. Let it run its course. Let me cling to the cross. Let me cling to the Christ of the cross. Let's get on our face before God and beg Him for mercy in our life. I can remember when my life was heading for destruction. I was on that path. I'm telling you, boy, I thank God for the day Jesus stepped in. I'm glad for the day that God busted my old heart wide open. He reached down inside of me and removed the doubts. He removed the misery the carnal nature produced. And He replaced it with a blessed assurance that Jesus was mine and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You hear me? Son, I couldn't go to hell if I tried. I'm so thank God, happy in Jesus. I'm telling you, bud, I'm glad for the day that Jesus took me off the road to destruction and misery and spoke peace and joy and assurance in my heart. It's worth more than all the money in the world. You mean to tell me that you can step out of destruction and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? God gave you the victory and you can still muster up some misery? Hello? You mean to tell me you can step out of the old into the new and God gives you the victory that's in Jesus Christ? I mean, even on a cloudy day, thank God the sun is still shining in your soul and you can find a way to muster up some misery. I'm telling you, what you got a counterfeit. My God is bigger than that God. My God is greater than all. And when He gives us joy, friend, He gives it in the midst of a storm. It's there, friend. It's there no matter what. Hell can come your way and there's still joy. You hear me? I'm telling you, troubles can move in. And thank God there's still a deep, settled joy in our soul. Amen.
Be nice to know the time of trouble. Some have said weeping may endure for a night, but there's a hope. Thank God for a child of God. Joy comes in the morning. Yes. Verse number 17 is where I was wanting to preach. It was my thought. Verse 17 said, in the way of peace have they not known. Can I tell you what man is seeking after in this old world? Man is seeking after peace. Most people are just going about it the wrong way. Most people's looking for some kind of peace and contentment in their life. Some kind of calming, some kind of rest in their soul. They're just going about it the wrong way. Most people turn to substance. We call it substance abuse. How many people will turn to a bottle, son, and try to find some kind of peace in their life? Boy, this is it. And for a little while, it seems like when we first were turned on to this substance, that man, that's fulfilling, and that hits the spot right there. But I'm telling you, the flesh is never satisfied. There'll be a day where that one ain't good anymore. And now you have to have two. Now you have to have a six pack. Now you have to have a whole shot. I'm telling you, but it just progresses or degresses on and on. Sin does in our life. It's not the way of peace. Money. Some men chase money and go, well, man, if I get enough money, I'll be happy. I'll tell you something, friend, I know a lot of rich people. And outside of Jesus Christ, it's empty. I'm telling you, they just continue to spend money and try to find that contentment, try to find that rest, try to find that peace, that calmness. They try to find something to hold on to. And no matter how much money they make, listen to me, I'm telling you, they're willing to sacrifice their wife. They're willing to sacrifice their children. They're willing to sacrifice the most precious thing God give on earth to obtain more money in hopes that that gives them the peace that they're looking for. Well, it wasn't long ago we passed a little law that the sodomites could be married. And boy, they jumped up in there, whoopee! You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to find that peace. They're trying to get that fulfillment in life. Boy, if I could just be with this guy over here, if I could just be with my lover, little old girls, if I could just be with him, and where that boy, if I could just have her, well, them sodomites, if they could just get together, I'm telling you, that might seem good for a while, but I'm telling you, the flesh is never satisfied. They're going to wake up one morning and realize that they're still wretched and miserable and undone and no joy in their lives. Still no joy. No Jesus. Got everything they want in this life. Got everything this flesh desires. Still no peace. No peace. I'm not against money. I'm not against wives and husbands. I'm not against men. I'm for everybody. I'm going to tell you something. None of that can give you joy. None of it can give you peace. None of it. We're living in a day where people's just looking for it in the wrong places. Peace don't come from nothing but the Lord. Peace comes only from the Lord. I say only Jesus Christ. This is if I was going to title this thing, I'd tell you that only Jesus Christ gives real peace. Only Jesus. Religion is booming, ladies and gentlemen, in America. It's big business today. Religion, big business. Just right down the road. I'll be honest with you, I think if we spent us about $1 million, maybe $2 million, and built us a beautiful elaborate building over here and decorated it just right, I think that just that alone would draw the crowd. I'm telling you, son, it would draw people. People want to come to the nice. They look at that building, Zach, and I know this is America. That's what we live in. They look at that and go, man, that people's successful. Religion's big business. It's booming. There's a lot of money. Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, and T.D. Jakes, and the whole rest of them, they're selling Jesus by the millions. That's right. They got them a little dollar Jesus. And people are flocking to these liberal, compromising flesh pools just so they can have their little contemporary Jesus and give themselves an attaboy and keep God off their back. Religion. While others are going to the cesspools of easy believism and they tell people that they're saved for praying a little prayer, and people and preachers are whitewashing sinners, and they cry peace, peace when there is no peace. It's the world we live in. That's religion. People seeking it, buddy. Open your eyes. I don't have to preach it. You can see it. You can't fake peace, ladies and gentlemen. Either you have it or you don't. You can put on the Ritz for a little while, but you cannot fake peace. It's hard to fake peace. Either I can guarantee you one thing. Them old boys at Pearl Harbor wasn't buying the peaceful lies up in Washington. You hear me? You can't fake peace. While them Japanese was up there in Washington signing them peace treaties, them Japanese was creeping around behind the corner, and they was bombing our men over at Pearl Harbor. You know what? If Washington said, hey, there's peace, we got peace, I bet you them boys that there at Pearl Harbor wasn't buying it. Tell you who else ain't buying it. I'm not buying it, Zach. This old world's crying peace, peace. This religion's crying peace, peace. And there is no peace. Do you hear me? Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Outside of a lovely Lord, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's the only way to peace. He's talking in Sunday school this morning. I'm telling you, bud, what this does... And what this does is two totally different things. With our lips we serve Him. With our lips we say one thing, but God said in that heart, you're far from me. You can say peace, peace, but down in your heart there is no peace. Only I can give that peace. Oh Lord, I say to you, there ain't but one way to have that real peace, and that's to be justified by faith. As through the Lord Jesus Christ, this world has a God that agrees with them. This world does. Religion does. Everybody's got them a little God that goes along with what they want to go along with. Everybody has a little God that just lines up with their lifestyle. Everybody has a little God that just lines up with their belief. And everybody has a little God that just lines up with whatever they want to do. We talked the other week about them imaginary gods. He agrees with whatever they like and he disagrees with whatever they disagree with. That's their God. That's the world's God today. Let me remind you, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of this Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The God of this Bible says, be not conformed to this world. The God of this Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Here's what the God of this Bible says. He said, you better line up with this book. This book don't line up with you. I don't line up with you. You line up with me. And if you don't line up with God, if you don't line up with the Word of God, there is no peace. There's no peace. You try to make that God fit you all you want to, but son, I'm going to tell you what. You got an empty religion. Contrary to popular opinion, God don't accept us for who we are. Did you hear that? God don't accept us for who we are. He accepts us as we are. But I'm going to tell you what he does, but he'll take a sinner as an old, filthy, rotten, wretched sinner and change him. He don't let you continue in sin. He don't leave you that old wretch. I'm telling you, when you come to God as you are, he takes and makes you a new creation in him. And all things are passed away and all things are become new. And Jesus Christ makes you a new creation. Amen. 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 With that, I want to ask this. When did you change? When did you change? When did you change? When did you change? The Bible says there's a change in a man. When did you change? You know when a lot of people quit fornicating? Not when they got saved. They just kept on fornicating. They quit fornicating when they got married because it became legal. That's right. They stopped stealing, Zach, because they got a better income. They got a little more money. Now they can buy some things. But they didn't stop. Hey, you want to know why a lot of people quit drinking? Ain't because they got passed from death unto life. But it's because they grew up on their life, how unhealthy and bad for them booze really was. And they put it away from them and claimed Jesus. Same way with drugs and everything. Hey, friend, let me tell you something.
When I got saved, thank God, I didn't need help to tell me sin was bad. Thank God. The Word of God pointed out sin to me, and the Holy Ghost convicted me of the sin in my life. And God drew me to an altar of confession and repentance. And through the, by the grace of God, I could repent of my sins and stay right with God Almighty. It wasn't because it was healthy. And it is healthy. That ain't why I did it. You want to know why a lot of people quit committing adultery? Because bless God, it gets old, they don't want to go to the doctor and get Viagra. Their body quits working. That's all I'm trying to say. But, well, I'm a Christian, I've been in there at the church. I'm going to tell you, up until you got so blessed old, you couldn't do nothing, you're sitting around living in adultery. Amen, son. By the name of God, then you quit adultery when you're 30 years old. Amen. Why? Because they ain't never been made a new creation in Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd be had it not been for Jesus. I don't know where my home would be. I don't know where my marriage would be. I can promise you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, church, beloved. I can promise you this. My marriage was heading in the wrong direction until I met the Lord. I cared about her. Zach loved me more than I loved her. Jesus was able to turn that around. Amen. Amen. And he helped me to care for my wife the way he cared for his church. And helped me to love her as Christ loved the church. And he helped me to love my neighbor as myself. I couldn't do that outside of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Son, you talk, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when I lay down tonight, Miss Kelly, I don't have to pop a pill, bless God, to calm my nerves. I can lay down tonight and have a blessed assurance and have this old peace, a calmness in my soul. Boy, you hear me? I know it seems crazy, Zach, and I am just a little nuts. Maybe I don't care, but it hit me this morning in the shower, son. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about the goodness of God. Hit me in the shower. JD, what did I do? Son, I ain't bragging on me, but when it hit me, I just got on my face before him in the shower and just wanted to give him praise for what he's done in my life. You hear me? Just to be able to stand under a shower of good, warm water. I said, God, you've been good to me. This warm shower is more than I deserve. A good clean bed is more than I deserve. A good cool home is more than I deserve. God's been good to me. Been good to me. And on top of all that, boy, I can lay down tonight and all the hell in this world can break loose. And there's a calmness in my soul. You hear me? I don't give a flip what Bill O'Reilly says. I don't give a flip what them idiots say on CNN, Fox News, CBS. I mean, I don't care. I know what the blessed book of God said. I'm not resting in the news. I'm resting in the lovely Lord Jesus. Thank God I'm resting in the Lord. I have peace with God because I've been justified. Justified by faith. I gotta hurry. All I'm trying to drive home is the only way to peace, ladies and gentlemen, is through Jesus Christ. That's all I'm trying to get across. Doing a pitiful job, but I want you to understand, Jesus is the only way to peace. Oh, he wants to speak peace into your soul. He came to this whole world and became sin for you. He died on that cross. He left heaven. He took on this whole body of flesh and took on your guilt and your shame so that you can have peace in your soul. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. He's the creator of peace. Yes, sir. He's the ruler of peace. He's the owner of peace. I'm going to tell you, you know what happens to a child of God. He may have tribulations. He may have trials. But right slap dab in the middle of every bit of that, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. That comes from God. That's right, right in the middle of all of it. I'm going to prove it in just a second if I can hurry. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. Let's run over to Acts, Romans. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching what? Peace. By who? The author of it, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Isn't that good? Look back at Romans chapter 10 now. Romans 10:14 says this in 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are feet of them which preach the gospel of what? Peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. You know what the gospel is, ladies and gentlemen? It's a chariot that God gave us that ushers in peace. That's what the gospel does. It brings peace. It's a chariot for the peace of God to ride into our souls. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a gospel that gives peace. Peace to a troubled heart. Listen, peace to a troubled home. Peace to a broken life. You know how many homes I've seen God put back together? You know how many rescued lives I've seen God do? I've been to the rescue missions and I've seen people on the bottom of the bottom that God's picked up out of that horrible pit and give them peace. Amen. JD, I've seen down there in prison, son, God take murderers, I mean rapists and murderers. I've seen God pick them up and give them peace. God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, not through some silly little prayer, not through some ritual, not through some philosophy of man, but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, ladies and gentlemen, I do not know how miserable I was. I didn't know how miserable I was until I sat under Bible preaching. I just didn't have a clue. I thought I was okay, Zach. But when I got under Bible preaching, that word of God was like a light. It lit me up. It started letting me see things in my life. And ladies and gentlemen, the more I sat under that gospel preaching, talking about preaching of the gospel, right? The more I sat underneath that gospel preaching, I'm telling you, the more miserable I saw myself. The more of a wretch I saw. You say, what is, that ain't the preacher browbeating. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ revealing to you what you really are and your condition before him. So, thank God for the law of God. It didn't just condemn me and leave me. The law of God condemned me, Zach, and took me by the heart over to where Jesus was. And handed me over to the hands of grace and said, do what you got to do. Do whatever you will. But here it is, son. Here you are guilty before God. It's holy and just and righteous. But he'll pardon you and set you free. Amen. He'll give you peace, son. Boy, thank God. Thank God for that day. Isaiah talked about the troubled sea. I'm trying to hurry. Isaiah said a lost man's life is like a troubled sea. Has any of y'all ever stood by the ocean when a storm was coming in? I've stood down there, Zach. We lived down there in Florida for about 10 years. And man, I've been down there at the coast when them storms was out there. Them hurricanes and man, them waves come a crashing in. I mean to tell you, they tell people don't get in the ocean. Why? Because there's no rest. I mean, man, by the time them waves come in, they come a crashing on the shore and they bring all this trash and debris and the seaweed and all the sand is just rumbled up. I mean, it's like sin. That's just like the human's life. Without Jesus Christ, there's a rumbling, there's sorrow. The waves are crashing in. It's just trouble, perplexity, uneasiness. Constantly. By the time one wave settles down and you think it's going to disappear, here comes another wave, comes crashing in. That's the way it is in the sinner's life. There's no rest. There's no peace. It's just trouble. It's what the Word of God would do. It reveals that. But if you'll remember, my boys was out there on the boat one day and one of them storms came up. The Bible says when the boat was full, Jesus was down there in the lower compartment, down there asleep. The Bible said that the boat was full of water. Jesus was down there sleeping with the water. He was on a waterbed.
And then disciples went and said, oh Lord, don't you care that our life's in danger? I mean, man, the storms are overtaking us. We're about to sink. We're going to lose our life. Jesus got up. He didn't just get up and speak. He got up, Michael, and went to the most dangerous point on that boat. He walked all the way out on the bow of that ship. He went to the most dangerous part that there was and said, peace, be still. The Bible said that them waves lay down and the wind ceased. And they said, what manner of man is this? Oh, Earl Hughes said, that's the manner of the Lord. When Jesus Christ spoke, the waves just lay down and the winds went blow. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about in the heart of a sinner. There's a wave that's a crashing in our soul. I'm telling you, Jesus can step in and say, peace. And the waves lay down. There's a calmness in your heart. You say, man, all is well. My God, all is well. What a peace. You say, I don't understand it. That's because the Bible said it passes understanding, son. Can't understand that. I can't understand how God can take somebody as troubled as I was, somebody that was in the paths of unrighteousness, and speak that kind of peace in my soul. And the calmness just overtake my heart. I'm not chewing my nails because of the rapture. I'm not digging holes in the ground. I'm not planning on an apocalypse. I'm planning on a rapture. Thank God for Jesus to come and sound the trumpet and the dead Christ is going to rise. I'm looking for Jesus Christ, thank God. You say, what about this other stuff? Hey, show it to me in the Bible and we'll deal with it some. It ain't in there, friend. Not for the church. The devil wants to mess with your mind now. Zach talked about this some in Sunday school. And I'm skipping here. But if you'll think about that maniac over there in Gadara, he was just like that troubled sea. He was always in an uproar. I mean, he was just running around. The Bible says, JD, that in that community, those people would try to chain him down and put fetters and chains on him. They said that he would break the fetters and chains and just run like a wild man through the graves, through the tombs over there. Said he would just cut himself and, man, he was just doing all kind of ungodliness. Jesus come across that sea one day and stepped out there and seen that old boy. He spoke to them devils and them devils came out of that man. You know what the Bible says? Here's what the Bible says. So the next time he saw him, he was clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that caught my attention, Miss Holly, because he said he was in his right mind. Here's all I'm trying to tell you. The devil messes with our minds. The devil continuously is trying to cause problems and turmoil and confusion and stuff going on in our mind. And he tries to mess with us. And I'm telling you, thank God, there's a God in heaven. It's greater than all that even can speak peace. And when he does, your mind can be at ease. That's right. Just give you a right mind. Listen to me. I don't want to confuse you. That's the job of Satan. I'm pretty good at it, though. To the believer, God can give you peace. And down in your soul, down in your heart, you can have that deep settled peace. But I promise you, even as a believer, the devil can come along and trouble your mind. He can come along and attack your mind. And I'm telling you, if your mind is not stayed upon the Lord, the devil can attack your mind and cause problems and havoc in your head. Not in your heart. I'm telling you, that's done, son. He can't do nothing about what God put down in there. But that peace that's in your mind, that peace of mind, when you get your mind off of God and you set your mind and you start looking on the cares of this whole world and you start looking at what all is going on and you start getting back, I'm going to tell you something, bud. He'll wear your mind out, friend. But I'm glad God said, if you'll just keep your mind on me, I'll give you perfect, what? Peace. Amen. Perfect peace have they that love thy law. Amen. You just keep your mind on the Lord. And I'm telling you, son, he'll give you. How do you do that, preacher? Well, you can't do it if you don't read your Bible. You can't do it if you don't pray. You can't do it if you ain't willing to walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you, friend, it's one thing if you'll just get in that Word and let that Word get in you and saturate your mind in the Word of God and let that Word just soak in and you can walk in the Spirit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah, you can do all that you've got to do. You can work 16 hours a day. But keep your mind on the Lord. Keep a right mind, son. Still focus on your job. Keep a right mind. Be able to focus on your family. Still be able to keep a right mind. Because that word is just saturated. I'm going to tell you what I've noticed, Michael. I've been around certain people and it encourages me. I've been around certain people you can just talk. And when you talk, they quote scriptures. Because what you said lines up with the Bible. They'll quote a scripture to support what you said. You said, man, and I've been around them when they've done it so much, I went, man, I want to know the Bible like that. I want to know the Bible that when I hear people talk, them Bible verses pop up in my mind. You can't do that without studying it. Just can't do it. Well, I think I'm going to just call it quits for a minute. I'm going to finish with this. I promise you, we'll go eat. I said it a while ago, and I'll just close with this simple thought. I can remember making a very sincere profession when I was a 15-year-old boy. Michael, I made a very sincere profession when I was a 15-year-old boy. I was as serious and sober-minded about it as I could be. I had one thing on my mind. I needed me a time and a place and getting out of hell. I didn't want to go to hell, son. Wasn't worried about my sin. I just didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted me a time and place where that got fixed. Yep. I can remember when I began to doubt my salvation. Remember that? I remember that. I can remember, if you read the parable of the sower and the seed, you remember how all them seeds fell in different places, and some seeds fell in a place, and they lasted for a while till a storm come, and then it just went away. Then one fell on the rock, and the sun burnt. It laid there, and the sun come along and scorched it, and it just withered away. That's what happened in my life. I got that seed. It was sown, but it fell on stony ground. My heart, my soil wasn't prepared, and it fell on stony ground, and it lay there for a while. Did all right for a few months. I did all right. I really did all right. I read my Bible until reading my Bible become a burden. I read my Bible until reading my Bible become a chore. And I'll never forget the day that my brother said, hey, let's go read our Bible. And I said, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to read my Bible. Man, I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't long after that, Miss Stephanie, the doubts started sinking in. You say, what was in doubts? Well, it wasn't the devil. The Holy Ghost was still working on me. Thank God he was still working on me.
You say, how'd you know it was not the devil? How'd you know it was God? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just take and listen to the Word of God, not the church people, not just the preacher, not just the neighbor, but if you'll listen to the Word of God, I found way too many infallible proofs in that Word for me to be saved. Because the Bible told me some things, and I went, I didn't listen to what man said, but what that Bible said, I ain't saved. There is no way in this world I can be saved according to what this book says. So I'm going to tell you what, I settled that real quick. Amen. Just settle it.
You say, man, what makes you think it wasn't the devil? Because the devil didn't lead me through the Word of God. He didn't teach me the Word of God. He didn't convict me with the Word of God. He didn't take the Word of God and rightly divide it for me to get things settled. Man, Father, we thank you for this time. Dear God, I flip-flopped and fumbled, and I pray that you take my efforts, dear God, and use them for your honor and glory. I pray, dear God, that you'd speak peace in the heart of an individual, anybody that needs peace here today. I pray, God, that they would open themselves up to Jesus. Come to you, Lord, as they are, and let you make a new creation out of them. Help us, dear God. I pray that you'd bless the food. Thank you, dear God, for Grandma laboring and preparing this meal. I pray, God, that you'd bless it to our bodies and use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.